With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Most of the lore boys. It's most of the lore boys here. My name is Peter O'Donohue, as usual, I suppose. And sitting across from me is the illustrious, the handsome, the pleasurable
James the Heck Miller.
James the Heck Miller. We're down in Ethan today because he has, from what I understand, school things to do.
Yeah, I think that's what he's doing, but we never really know.
No, I mean, I think he's going to university for podcasting.
Yeah,
instead of something useful. So I think that's basically. That's where we're at this point. We will be Dr. Loreboys in a year's time. Trust me.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that neither Jamie nor I are doctors, and I have an arts degree.
I have a Bachelor of Arts degree.
Anyway, Jamie, you want to... What Bachelor number one.
Yes?
If there's something that I needed to know about you,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things on your little 1970s game show cue card would be...
Mm-hmm.
Are you a cinephile, as it were? You like going to the pictures with your best gal, with your main squeeze, with a set of hot gams?
So my favorite movies are not a lot, because I haven't seen very many. I live alone and I spend my spare time playing video games, not watching things.
You're really the worst kind of person.
Yeah?
Trademark lore boys. Playing video games is the worst.
Yeah, exactly.
No, this is all an ironic art experiment. Once we hit 100 episodes, our true intentions will be made real. But
yeah.
Video games are stupid.
I've seen Ready Player One, but I've also read the book, and it was kind of like a video game.
There's a few. Fuck it. I don't like our current state of CGI.
Mm-hmm.
Other than like the live action Disney films or like other things that are clearly not made for me.
Yeah.
My interest in Ready Player One was subatomic. It was you couldn't have paid me to go see that film. Yeah.
Can you guess where I watched it?
On the internet.
On the plane to Poland. Like, I've seen half of the movie.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They locked me in a metal ship in the air for 12 hours. I had no choice.
They forced me to watch films.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't want to, but they made me do it, Dad. I'm sorry. It's like, it's okay, Jamie. I don't blame you.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't blame you for seeing Avengers 4.
And I picked the closest games to video games I could, and I was playing Pokemon on my cell phone at the same time. But
yeah, well, there you go. At least you absorbed some quality entertainment in Pokemon Go.
Exactly. Pokemon Go in the sky doesn't work very well, but. Anyways.
Yeah, it's a bit of weird, like, vague. It's like, oh boy, a Golbat in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
Stop the plane, I need to catch this.
Yeah, exactly.
Just turn him into a Crobat. You get candy or whatever, fuck.
Yeah.
And I don't know what... I played Pokemon Go for precisely 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. I caught a Charmander in my bedroom. I was like, oh, that's how it works. And then uninstalled it.
Yeah, it's going to be irrelevant by the time anyone listens to this, but this is a very, very good weekend to play Pokemon Go. It's like all of the community days for the last year and a half. All of the rare stuff that you could have got back then, if you missed it, you can get all of it right now.
Yeah.
So it's a very good time.
For the record, it is December 2nd, 2018.
First.
And it's the second.
What?
Yeah, the first was yesterday.
I gotta pay my bills.
Damn. Man, rent doesn't come out till tomorrow. I got one more night to pretend like I've got money. Because I can't cash a check on the weekends. So we are talking today about one of the most influential film universes of my life. Despite the fact, much like The Simpsons, it has been... terrible for much longer than it was ever good.
Your life?
No. Much like The Simpsons, this franchise has been bad for longer than it was ever good.
Okay.
We're talking about Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
And the Jurassic Park extended universe.
Nice.
Have you seen Jurassic Park? First one at least, right?
When did the first one come out?
1993.
So I was going to say I was 3 years old. This is actually accurate. My dad had rented it when I was 3 years old. And I saw a guy get mauled while he's on the toilet, and I started crying a lot because I felt like I could never be vulnerable again.
Right, good. So yeah. You have seen the first Jurassic Park?
When I was very young.
Yeah.
I know the concept. I've seen Jeff Goldblum's laugh on a 10-hour remix. That's very good.
Yeah, well, that might be the second time we've referenced that. I can't direct you guys to go see an episode. By the way, this is the Lore Boys podcast where we talk about nerd lore. Leave us a review if you want to skim through our 65 previous episodes to find out when the last time we referenced Jeff Goldblum's.
I looked up Jeff Goldblum's laugh and someone has written it out like in meters. Like it's a 3/8 timing and they have the notes for it and everything. Like people have done their work on Jeff Goldblum's laugh.
Thank God that there is an infinite amount of time in the universe, or else I would have considered that a fucking waste.
Well, yeah, if you accumulate all the time people put into the internet, it might as well be infinite at this point.
Well, yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, did you know that it was based on a book?
No, actually, yeah,
Jurassic Park. Oddly enough, a lot of Senor Spielbergos. Speaking of The Simpsons, movies are based on books. Ready Player One, which you mentioned, that mm-hmm. I will never see, God willing. War of the Worlds, which is one of my least favorite adaptations because mm-hmm. I love the book, and that movie is at best okay. Yeah. I think Close Encounters of the Third Kind is also based on a book.
Okay.
Jaws is based on a book, and Jurassic Parks 1 and 2 are based on books.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, written by the Jurassic Park is written by a man named Michael Crichton, who stereotypically is like the guy who sells books on the spinning rack at an airport.
Yeah, dude, I've seen his name like many times. I didn't realize he wrote Jurassic Park.
Yeah, he wrote Jurassic Park. He's written a bunch. I think he wrote Minority Report as well. I don't know. Okay. That's based on a book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that could, don't quote me on that. That could be completely wrong. He wrote okay. Jurassic Park. I don't yeah. know if he wrote Minority Report.
And John Williams did the music, like
for Jurassic Park. Yes.
Yeah. For every good like music soundtrack, if you can recognize it, it's probably written by John Williams. Harry Potter, this Jurassic Park.
He did Harry Potter?
Yeah.
I thought that was Danny Elfman.
Nope. He did Harry Potter. Do, do,
really?
Do.
Yeah.
Also, what else? Not Lord of the Rings, but
no, that was Jeremy Soule.
Yeah,
he was the same guy who did the soundtrack for Silence of the Lambs. Yeah.
Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones is John Williams.
Yeah,
dude, that guy he's a beast.
Prolific.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think is the high class version of saying he's a beast.
Since when are we high class on this podcast?
Yeah, I know. Never, not up until now. Now we're talking about cinema.
Oh,
and dinosaurs, which you know,
just dinosaurs holding little teacups because they got little tiny hands.
Yeah, the T-Rex.
Yeah,
yeah. So they're not entirely accurate. The T-Rex, at the very least, her hands. She cannot pronate her wrists,
oh.
meaning she, you know, the way she holds her hands with her palms pointing towards the ground.
Yeah, and the little curly fingers
would be physically impossible for the majority of theropod dinosaurs because they can't rotate their wrists. Their palms actually point at each other.
Oh, so they're always doing the little robot dance.
They are the OG Mr. Roboto.
Okay,
would have been the Tyrannosaurus. In the original Jurassic Park. I'm going to get to that, but that's on the fourth page of my 17-page treatment of Jurassic Park that we're about to go through.
Wow.
That's a lie. the timeline for Jurassic Park, though, which obviously exists because things occur in a linear fashion when you are setting up a apocalyptic dinosaur park.
I just remember, there's a Jurassic Park video game for the Sega Genesis, and it was sick.
It was fucking sweet.
Yeah, I actually played that a lot.
It was great.
Yeah.
The timeline starts back in the ye olden times of 1974, mm-hmm. Where John Hammond, who is the old, what's Richard Attenborough, the documentary guy's brother.
Okay.
That's the actor at least.
Okay.
The kindly old man who founded the original park began a partnership with another kindly old man, because it was the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with this was, so this timeline goes off the fucking rails.
Right.
Starting now.
Okay, we just started.
Yeah, okay, so John Hammond starts a partnership with another old man that no one has ever mentioned, ever, up until the fifth film, named Benjamin Lockwood.
Okay.
So Jurassic Park is more like Retcon Park, because the new films, which are terrible.
And that'll be Jurassic World?
Yeah, we'll get into Jurassic World.
Okay.
Also, I guess I'll warn you now, spoilers for Jurassic World 2, which was relevant when I wrote this script, but we swapped it out for our Metal Gear episode because our Metal Gear boy was available at a certain time. It's Retcon City.
As far as I understand, like,
Detroit Retcon City.
If you're gonna go see these movies, like, I don't think spoilers are a big deal. It's just like they just keep ramping up with bigger or more dinosaurs, right? And then, like, do they make dinosaurs to beat the other? We'll get into it, but I don't think spoilers are gonna ruin your experience if you go and watch these movies.
No, I mean, I wouldn't spoil the first Jurassic Park because it's a genuinely good film.
Yeah.
The rest are available to view.
That's it. Yeah, they're available.
Yeah, there are. Yeah, you know, they exist.
They're on that Hollywood, like, factory line. Yeah, we'll throw a Chris Pratt or a Ryan Reynolds in it, and we'll pump it out by next week.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Exactly. We're going to get a pretty girl, and she's a scientist. We'll get Chris Pratt in there to play himself, and it's going to be great.
Yeah.
So, Benjamin Lockwood was never mentioned in the prior films because he was retconned in to the dumbest Jurassic film yet. Okay. Which we'll get into, which would be Fallen Kingdom, which came out at this point 2-3 months ago. I didn't see it.
Yeah, I didn't know it existed. That's good to know.
I'm so sorry. it's like I'm like the ignorant European explorer, and you are the indigenous North American person. Where it's just like, wow, I'm dying of smallpox. Didn't know it existed. Is basically me telling you Jurassic World 2 is real.
Yeah, that's
from a fanboy standpoint. I would be your Christopher Columbus in this relationship.
Yeah.
You want to touch my hand and then pick up food without washing your hands?
Yeah, like, no problem. I'll do that.
Just do it. It's dinosaurs again. We made a scary one. So in the 80s, he leases Isla Sorna from the Costa Rican government. This is John Hammond.
Yep.
He leases Isla Sorna from the Costa Rican government after hiring a scientist named Laura Sorkin, who had proof of concept of cloning dinosaurs from blood-drinking insects trapped in tree amber. This is where the mosquito in the amber cane comes in.
That's where they come from. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Dr. Laura Sorkin is not in the films because Dr. Henry Wu came in and said, well, why don't we just use frog DNA to fill in the gaps? Because you can't sequence a complete genome from just a little bit of blood left in a mosquito in an amber shell that's, you know, 100 million years old.
Yeah.
He just came in with his idea where he's just like, well, we'll just fill it in with frog DNA.
I guess that kind of makes sense. Like, from us to, like, a cow or something, we probably have, like, 70% shared or more, probably.
I think
I
remember hearing a statistic where we're, like, 82% the same as fruit flies.
Or something
insane like that. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Something crazy.
I know, like, with, like, bonobo chimps, we're, like, 99.9 or something like that. Like, it's very small difference.
Yeah, of course, a small difference, but think about how different we are from
a fruit fly.
Chimps.
Yeah, or chimps. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So he came in. He's like, why don't we just fill in all the gaps with frog DNA? It's cheap, mm-hmm. and we have plenty of frogs. He had recently inherited 200 acres of swampland near Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and figured the frogs could help cut costs.
If you use frog DNA, it's going to turn the dinosaurs gay.
Kind of. Because if we remember in the films, which we'll get into, there are certain kinds of frogs which happened to be... So this process, I'll get into that actually. So the process was called filling in the sequence gaps for the genome sequence. And was chosen because Dr. Sorkin wanted to sequence an entire dinosaur genome, which simply wasn't viable due to how long the bones had been fossilized. So Dr. Sorkin was like, well, if you want to do something, you might as well do it well. And John Hammond was just like, no, I want to do things cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Because dinosaurs in no way are giant flesh-eating monsters. And we can just... I want Costco dinosaurs.
Yeah.
I don't want none of your fancy-ass... whatever Tiffany dinosaurs.
That's it. This is an amusement park, not something to be proud of.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. we took the wooden roller coaster for one test run. No one died. Perfect.
Yeah,
that's basically it.
This is which movie or is it pre-movie?
This is pre-movie.
Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. This is pre-movie. This is in the 70s.
Okay.
Where the films take place basically in the year they were released.
Okay.
So like you can imagine Jurassic Park is taking place in 1993,
mm-hmm.
if you have to, if you must, if you insist, Jamie. It's 1993.
I don't remember much from that time.
I was two.
Yeah.
So it was out with Sorkin because she wanted to work hard and in with the woo. Out with Sorkin and in with the woo, as it were.
No, I get you.
Yeah, because he was just like, we can do it cheap. Let's just fill him with frogs. Since neither John Hammond nor Benjamin Lockwood were scientists, Wu's method was chosen. They were just like, she was just like, oh man, it's gonna be difficult. And these two rich old dudes were just like, I don't really like difficult. Not much of my life. My life as a rich white man has not been difficult. And then Dr. Henry Wu shows up. He's like, I can do it cheap. And I was like, okay, I understand that word.
Yeah.
Difficult, I've never heard. Cheap, that's a concept I can get behind.
That's
and,
it, yes.
And both of them were just like, we're good.
Smashing frogs together to make dinosaurs. It's the path of least resistance.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. You've got a mosquito inside of a rock, and you just smash it into a frog. Boom, raptors. You got it.
I just picture, like, a raptor, like, walking around, a fly goes by, boom, tongue comes out.
Yeah. So they hired the guy with the shortest sound, the cheapest sounding shortcut.
Yep.
That was fucking perfect. Yep. Also, the frog plantation near Baton Rouge, I wrote this about a month and a half ago.
Okay.
I can't remember if that's made up, but that is Loreboy's canon.
Okay.
Because remember when I was saying off air that, like, I start writing my scripts more like kind of monologues now?
Yeah.
This was one of the first ones that I experimented with in, like, turning the Wikipedia clippings into a full sentence. Loreboy's canon, Dr. Henry Wu got a Louisiana plantation filled with frogs. Possibly not true. Take that with a grain of Loreboy's brand salt.
I like how you write them as a monologue when there's two other people who are involved in this.
Well, thus far, I've been, for the first time in a while, for the past, like, 2 months, I've done, like, 3-4 episodes that I'm genuinely proud of, where normally when we, like, unplug the mics, I'm just like, God, that fucking sucked, I hate myself, and I go home and cry in my bed.
Yeah. We have, like, at least one unreleased episode like that,
Yeah,
maybe
exactly.
If you get into Loreboy's prime, that'll come out one day.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Yeah. Hear me cry on air. In the book.
It was just an hour of Peter sobbing. Just
weeping. Like, ugly crying. You can see what I look like. Yeah, just like, yeah.
A lot of, like, snot inhales.
In the book, Jurassic Park, they use bird and lizard DNA, depending on the dinosaur, which would make more sense because currently, our current species of birds are referred to as non-avian dinosaurs, as they are directly descended from certain species of dinosaur.
Yeah.
Many dinosaurs currently are known to have had feathers. Otherwise, like, they're thinking, like, T-Rexes in northern Alberta likely had feathers to stay warm, and maybe southern Alberta and Montana they didn't.
Yeah, okay.
But even large animals were at present thought to have had feathers, or at least some sort of downy covering. So in the book, they mixed both in. They were just like, frog where you need it, and then bird when you got to.
Yep.
Right? So Colonel Sanders, part of the Jurassic Park canon, where they were just like, listen, I say there, son, you seem like you're having a little bit of trouble filling in your sequence gaps, and now I say I have a chicken or two to spare to make your horrible science monsters.
My 16 secret recipe, 16 different
the secret
frogs
spice.
Yeah, and birds.
The secret spice was dinosaur blood. There's your episode title.
Yeah, there we go.
That'd be two Kentucky Fried Chicken episodes that we have.
Oh, yeah. I don't even remember
the other one was the Illithid. It was the Kentucky Flayed Chicken.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
go
you
download
did the
our episode about the Illithid.
Yeah, yeah.
But this changed to just frogs in the film. Who knows why? I mean, they only explain the frog thing in one sentence. If they would just been like, hey, it's birds and frogs, and everybody around them would have been like, fine, okay.
Yeah, maybe 1993 there was like some complications around like birds. Maybe there's some political issues, so they didn't want to.
Oh, Colonel Sanders is currently like a disgraced rich person because he had said something racist, predictably, because he's Colonel Sanders.
Maybe there was a zoo incident with like a Harambe like bird that got killed, so they didn't want to talk about that because.
Little boy fell into a flamingo enclosure and he had been pecked 1,500 times.
It would be a pelican. I've seen a pelican eat another seagull whole in one gulp. Ooh. Like, you could definitely, a pelican could eat a kid.
No, that actually, if you just search pelican eats seagull, that's an insane thing to watch.
Yeah. No, like one gulp, gone. Like,
there is a very good picture of my dad on like a pier at a marina somewhere in the Caribbean.
And then he just ate a seagull.
No, just pointing at, looking very angry at a bored-looking pelican. He's just like, he, for some reason, he probably set this up with my stepmom, where he's like, you know, Tammy, get a picture of me yelling at this bird, because it clearly doesn't give a fuck. So there's like, it looks like he's talking to a toddler, but it's my dad just like scolding a pelican. If he had social media, that would have to be his display picture.
Yeah, the pelican could eat a whole baby, too.
So it took 9 years, but from 1974 to 1983, they start to build Jurassic Park.
Okay.
They need to set up the infrastructure before they set up the dinosaurs.
Yeah, there's lots of electricity and big, tall fences.
Yeah.
And
but they didn't do this on this island that they had leased. They were just like, the safest place to house flesh-eating animals is Boom. Downtown San Diego, California. So Jurassic Park San Diego began construction in 1983, which was added later on in Jurassic Park 2, if you remember the climax of that film.
I don't. Listeners, I didn't see
two. T-Rex gets loose in San Diego.
Oh.
Spoilers for a movie that came out fucking 22 years ago. Fucking whatever.
You sure that's not Godzilla?
Sorry?
It sounds like Godzilla.
That was like 1998. It's like a smaller scale Godzilla.
Okay.
Yeah. So they... Anyway, they begin construction for Jurassic Park San Diego in 1983. Okay. This still seemed like a good idea. And in 1984, the first prehistoric animal is cloned and brought back to life.
Which one? Do you know?
I don't have it here. It's just it's in their report.
Cool.
In Jurassic Park San Diego is then canceled, and John Hammond starts building it on the on his Costa Rican island of Isla Sorna.
Isla Sorna.
Isla Sorna, which is Spanish for Sorna Island.
Okay.
Yeah. Isla is. I don't know.
It's not delivery. Isla Sorna.
Yeah, it's not delivery. It's Isla Sorna.
Okay.
Exactly.
Gotcha. I'll remember it.
Yeah. What?
I don't know.
His lease on the island of Isla Sorna is for 99 years and comes with all the islands in and on the archipelago and a volcano.
Okay.
And then in 1988, the T-Rex from the first film is born. So happy birthday to her.
That's cute.
Whose nickname is Rexy.
Rexy.
Yeah, which I didn't know as a child and referred to T-Rex as Rexy throughout most of my elementary school life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, anyway, the T-Rex.
You must have been really popular.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, of course. Come on, I grew up to be 27 doing a podcast about video games in Jurassic Park. Of course I was popular, Jamie.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, she was born in 1998, so she's a little bit older than me, but I still think she's hot. It's experience.
Wait, this is the Rex?
The T-Rex.
Oh yeah, Rexy.
From
Sexy
Jurassic
Rexy.
Park. Sexy Rexy, man. Yeah. Yeah, more like Tyrannosaurus. Sex, am I right? she's born in the 80s, into hair metal. Very much loved Beast Wars. Idolized Megatron.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah, because he was a T-Rex too, but like a sexy, like a DILF T-Rex.
This is the part where Ethan would vibe with you on that, but I don't want to get too deep into that.
That's okay. Yeah. You know what? We've got a show to finish. We can't possibly get off on the fucking DILF T-Rex thing here.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll let that tangent die on the vine.
Yeah.
They then start to move the animals from the breeding island seen in Jurassic Park 2, mm-hmm. which was Isla Nublar, to the main island of Isla Sorna.
Isla Nublar, Isla Sorna.
Nublar.
Nublar.
Nublar. Isla Nublar.
I like that, yeah.
Which is seen in Jurassic Park and Jurassic World.
Okay.
Dr. Wu notices that some of the dinosaur clones are dying of a genetic disease caused by the unreliable DNA of the poison dart frogs that they had been using and decides to use the common reed frog DNA instead.
Okay.
He, of course, did not read the label on his bottle of dart frog DNA.
Oh, like... This is like the poison in Emperor's New Groove.
The poison for Cusco?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. This is the frogs for Rexy. The frogs designed specifically to save Rexy. Rexy's poison.
Yeah.
Exactly. The poison for Rexy.
Yeah.
The DNA is specifically chosen to sequence Rexy. Rexy's DNA.
Yeah.
That DNA.
Who was the actor for that guy?
Patrick Warburton.
Okay,
yeah.
I've seen him everywhere, but like, yeah.
That was the first film I saw him in.
Okay.
Yeah, side note on the subject of fantastic films.
Yeah.
Emperor's New Groove.
Oh, okay.
Top tier Disney film.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's so good. It has that, what's the thing called whenever it starts in the middle and then goes back to the beginning? And then,
in medias res.
Yeah, we've talked about it before. Yeah. In medias res, when I think of in medias res, it's like, oh, Emperor's New Groove. It's a perfect example.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that film is so fucking good. Yeah. It's one of those like, few failed experiments at having, like, a Disney prince for the first time, where, like, Hercules was a fucking failure, but I love that film.
Yeah.
Emperor's New Groove was a fucking failure, but I love that film.
Were they failures?
Treasure Planet. Well, who the fuck talks about that? Like, all we get is new princesses, right? Like,
yeah.
They're the marketable ones.
I guess so, but, like, everyone I know talks about Hercules and Emperor's New Groove and such.
But are we boys is the thing?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're not very convincing when we're asking our dad to buy us Cusco dolls.
Yeah.
But, you know, but Julia wants fucking Cinderella, and they're like, oh, here it is.
Yeah,
I don't get my Cusco. I don't know if they had a Cusco doll.
They must have.
I want one of those. I want just like some withered old fucking Yzma doll. That's what I want.
I guess Toy Story was like a good way for Disney to do that, because like to sell toys of actual toys. It's not like, I want a prince who's also a doll. You can just ask for the Woody thing. I had a Woody thing.
Yeah.
You pull a string and you're like, oh, there's a snake in my boot.
I got a Woody right now, fuck. Well, funny, early Pixar, and even a lot of Pixar, is about, like, for some reason, it's like old dads who are, like, the main characters in those films for children, right?
Like, what do you mean?
Like, how many of the Pixar main characters are, like, adult or old men? And I'm not talking about, like, sexy hero boys like Hercules, but, like, Woody is clearly, like, a father figure, so he's probably 45. The guy in Up is, like, 1,000 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And his
so
wife
cute.
Is already dead. And yeah. Monsters, Inc. is about two older men who live together, like, trying to have a daughter.
That's true.
Sort of thing. Like the old guy films up until Cars.
Well, Car, that is a role model
well,
right there.
Well, Lightning McQueen's a bit of a bit too much of a young buck. I don't like the fact that he listens to Elvis and jazz because he's going to fucking hell.
I like Mater. He speaks to my sensibilities.
Yeah. Because I'm a low-class piece of shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, Dr. Wu
didn't
read the side effects of his new bottle, his new tub of common reed frog DNA. Because he didn't know that reed frogs, and this is real. This isn't like Alex Jones's psycho fucking gay frog thing. It's because they're a pretty basic animal. And in a completely homogenous population, if they need to fuck, certain members of the reed frogs can swap their sex.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, because no matter what, you need to breed, and you know what you need to breed? You need a male and a female.
Okay, is it like a transformer where you can kind of just like pop it out or pop it back into place? Or like,
Not part of Jurassic Park canon.
No?
I have no idea how animals change sex, but it's a thing that happens.
Wow.
Reed frogs are among them, snails too. But huh. I think it's an evolutionary thing because like I don't know how you end up in a completely...
Yeah.
Like... I guess that would be like a homosexual society where like there are no members of the opposite sex left over because I suppose they've all been eaten by herons.
Have you seen?
And then you swap, and then they can flip their sex if needed so that they can continue to breed.
Well, that's cool. Have you seen snails have sex?
Nope.
I think we might have talked about this on the show. They kind of like some of them they droop down and they kind of like spiral together in a helix, and it looks like this weird like writhing like tentacle thing. It's pretty interesting.
That's odd.
Yeah.
I mean, they're slimy. They're kind of cute. I had a pet snail for a while.
Oh, really?
They just eat lettuce.
They eat lettuce?
Yeah, they're vegetarian. I mean, the common snail of North America that you can catch in the garden is a vegetarian thing.
That makes sense. I always thought of them like worms that just like eat minerals or something.
But... No. I think worms absorb biological material that's in dirt. I don't think they actually feed on minerals, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never talked to a worm or a snail, so...
Yeah. I had, like I said, had a snail, fed him a lot of cabbage, and I had him for like 3-4 months and then presumably died of old age. I don't know how... I don't know.
It was all the salt you were putting on the lettuce. Though.
Yeah, exactly.
For flavor.
That's it, yeah. In 1993, the opening of the first film takes place. If you recall... the gatekeeper is attacked and wounded or killed by a raptor during transfer because the raptor, she rams the back of the cage to slide it backwards just a little bit to drop the guy off the top, and then she drags him mostly in.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You know, like us lore boys, we're against gatekeeping. So that's
absolutely. Yeah. That's where we make our podcast accessible as possible.
Exactly.
Right? This is the reason we do all this research, is to open up the world of Jurassic Park to the rest of you.
If anyone's trying to gatekeep us, we'll send a raptor after.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I will send a bloodthirsty lizard to tear your legs off.
Made out of ambisexual frogs.
Yeah. She does what she needs, man. Yeah. This spooks investors after one of their laborers is devoured by a reptile.
Of course.
So now they need to hire people to endorse the theme park filled with cloned monsters.
Okay.
John Hammond goes off to meet our two leads. He breaks into their trailer on the dig site. And invites doctors Alan Grant and Ellie Sadler to Jurassic Park. Those being what?
That's Jeff Goldblum and
That would be Sam Neill and Laura Dern.
Okay, yeah. I don't know them.
It's guy in blue shirt, woman in red shirt.
Okay,
at the beginning.
Cool.
It's the main characters of the film. Yeah. To Jurassic Park, he intends to show them how safe and great his dinosaurs are.
All right.
If anybody's seen the movie, we know that this is. What we in the showbiz like to call dramatic irony. But anyway, his HR department is as competent as his cloning division. And he has hired a serpent named Dennis Nedry, who is the fat guy. Okay. It's the guy from Seinfeld.
Yeah, Newman. He gets sprayed in the face by raptor acid.
It's
a
Dilophosaur poison.
Then he gets
eaten in his car.
Okay, I haven't seen much of the movie, but that moment stuck out.
So I used to leave the room when that thing's frill came out. Despite the fact, as an adult, you can 100%, because it's raining, see the strings because they're soaking wet.
Yeah.
But it used to absolutely mortify me as a child. Up until I was like 13, I would leave the room during Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
And I would watch this film monthly because I love dinosaurs. Mm. I still do. I find them fascinating. But like,
I had
Christ almighty, I would always just like, I would just peace no matter what.
No, definitely. I used to scare, like, go behind my dad's big chair because I was like 3 and 4 or whatever. This is when like it was in Blockbuster and we were renting it a lot, I guess.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I had a copy of Jurassic Park on VHS, but I mean, even owning it, I'd just be like, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to sit down and watch Jurassic Park, and very clearly a lot of time to leaving the room for this one scene that just horrified me.
Did you know that there are still Videotrons in Montreal where you can rent movies and games at? That blew my fucking mind, dude.
There's one in Verdun.
Yeah, Verdun. There's one, like, you have to go, like, outside of the city. If you go up north, like, Pointe-aux-Trembles, there's some, too. Like, you gotta go out of the city, but you can find them.
Yeah, they're in the places that civilization has not yet reached.
Yeah, exactly.
We have, like, fucking cavemen Quebecers renting video.
Oui, je veux mon vidéo, Vidéotron.
Okay. You probably buy cigarettes there, too.
Yeah, exactly. You get cigarettes, a 40 of Molson Labatt, and...
Yeah, you get a 40 of 10.1,
yeah,
and just a pack of darts, and then fucking Jurassic Park 2 on VHS, and you're set, bud.
That's it, and all the movies are from that time.
Yeah, of course. It's little capsules. If aliens landed there, they'd think that the humans of Earth were just these savages that watched movies off of magnetic tape. And the rest of us, everybody has Netflix. The fat guy.
Yep.
Who is Dennis Nedry in this one, or Newman, as everybody refers to him as, is meeting with a man named Mr. Dodgson, or just Dodgson, and discusses stealing embryos for use presumably in another dinosaur park.
Huh.
It is not specified that there is a competitor to this to Jurassic Park as Triassic or Cretaceous Park, or something to that effect, or Jurassic Land.
Is stealing embryos petty theft or kidnapping?
I think it qualifies in this instance as corporate espionage.
Okay.
Because the embryos only exist because a company brought them back, so they are the property of the corporation, right?
Yeah.
As fucked up as that sounds, like, where it's just like, no, this lizard embryo is... it's corporate espionage. It's not kidnapping. I suppose if you want to be empathetic, you fucking hippie,
don't
and say it's kidnapping.
Yeah.
Or abduction.
If I made a clone out of your DNA, do you have rights to the baby?
I don't know.
We're not there yet. We'll find out.
If I gave you my DNA, no. If you stole my DNA, I could probably sue to the rights to fuck my clone.
If a mosquito bit you... and 100 years later,
and
medical...
you wax on, wax off, snatched it out of the air with chopsticks.
Yeah, yeah, no, like 100 years later, you live 100 years for whatever reason, and we find this mosquito, we make a little Peter, and somehow you figure out it's you. Is it your baby?
No, I think there's a difference between clones and babies. Thankfully, we don't have to have this discussion yet,
politically,
because just like, look how hard it's been to just manage the internet for our worthless fucking politicians.
That's
thank God we can't clone people.
Yeah, when they cloned a sheep in the 90s? That's why we can't clone more things, because people don't know how to have that discussion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, is it gay? Like, I don't know. Don't bring that up. What are you talking about? You fucking lunatics. Get out of here. how they intend to get away with this afterwards is unclear, however, because they would just have to make up the argument that there were two parks that were cloning dinosaurs at the same time, whereas conveniently a second park ended up with cloned dinosaurs shortly after Jurassic Park, and they'd just be like, we didn't steal it.
And there's a second cloner on the grassy knoll.
Exactly. the second cloner on the... It's like a raptor shot JFK.
Yeah.
It's like Marilyn Monroe's dress. That might be your art right there.
There you go.
Yeah, you got you got your raptor shooting JFK. Fuck. Yeah, anyway, so apparently John Hammond and Benjamin Lockwood were completely unaware that there are two dinosaur parks happening in parallel, and okay. Dennis Nedry is stealing from them.
But if you asked the Jurassic Park lore in 94, there would only have been one.
Correct.
But other one was retconned in.
Not even retconned in, because Dennis Nedry's embryo theft is only a plot point in the first film where he is killed by the Dilophosaurus, and it is never explained in following films, even with all the idiotic retconning that they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, we're good. Yeah, dog keeps rolling.
She's just rolling on the keyboard. I don't
want
to kill
the dog. Yeah, dog
is
like getting comfortable and like she pawed the mouse and rolling on the
keyboard. She's very cute.
She's cute, but she might ruin this fucking podcast. Yeah.
So the endorsement team,
yeah,
who are the people who are just like, no, dinosaurs are perfectly safe, guys, would be Alan Grant, played by Sam Neill, Ellie Sadler, played by Laura Dern, Ian Malcolm, played by...
Oh, I love that.
Donald Gennaro, the lawyer, who is an actor who I don't give a fuck about,
yeah.
And then Hammond's grandkids, Tim and Lex, who were boy and girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you guys haven't watched the Jeff Goldblum laugh, like, please go watch it. It's such a great moment in 90s history.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, somebody made a 10-hour version of it, right?
Yeah.
So we've all seen the film. We know what happens. Everyone has a nice and safe time.
Okay.
In no way is this a film. It's not a family thriller.
No.
About flesh-eating monsters.
It's like a trip to the zoo.
It's remarkably boring. I don't know why it's so popular. I don't know why I rented it so many times or bought it on VHS.
It was like getting to see, it's like going to the zoo from your very own VCR.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. Yeah. It's just like a Dorling Kindersley interactive PC game where you go through a little museum somewhere, and it's wonderful.
It's cute.
After the first film, some crazy and stupid bullshit starts to get retconned into the timeline.
Okay.
InGen, which was the company who was cloning dinosaurs, appoints a new CEO who understands that making a dinosaur park on an island was unsafe, so he decides to send hunters to the breeding island of Isla Nublar to capture dinosaurs to put in Jurassic Park San Diego.
Okay.
Because he was like, no, this island, that's no bueno. The fact that none of these dinosaurs can swim for 1,000 miles through the ocean, right?
Yeah, so we should
put very them- dangerous. I want to put them downtown in California, surrounded by 37 million people.
Oh, no. I don't think this is a good idea, hunters and InGen.
Yeah, you know what? I'm just saying a dense population of humans are much safer from dinosaurs than if they were isolated on an island that they could never possibly escape,
no.
Jamie. All right, listen, Jamie. Just think for a minute, okay?
Well, I kind of see their point, actually, now. Because, like, look, let's say we
San Diego police just, like, gunned down a raptor.
Let's say we wanted to fight the dinosaurs, right? And they're on an island, and they start to become sentient, and they start, like, populating and stuff. For us to control them, we have to get our navy and go all the way out there. They might have a navy by now. They can defense, like... If they're on our turf, there's more of us than them.
You know what? I absolutely agree. If we're not constantly watching, they could be developing a navy.
Exactly.
It's a dinosaur navy.
It could become Dinosaur England, and then they would have the best naval force and the biggest teeth around.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Very tall Napoleons, but they're also dinosaurs.
Yes.
It's like Dinosaur France.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you're right. Yeah,
keep your friends close and your dinosaurs closer.
There's your episode title.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is all pretty tangential. The events of Jurassic Park 2, The Lost World, occur. I'm not going to summarize the entire film. We all learn a very valuable lesson that a Tyrannosaurus rampaging through downtown San Diego was our fault because we brought it there.
That's fair.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah.
But you know, like, you think of the alternative where they could have...
Where he was the... commander of some sort of dinosaur navy.
Yeah.
I understand. It could have been much worse.
So, yeah.
Could have been a way better movie where we had fucking like Pirates of the Caribbean but with dinosaurs. That was by far the best pirate I have ever seen. It's like a T-Rex on a mast. Dr. Wu, it's weird. I think it's just because he's one of the actors who's available to do this.
Okay.
So do you remember in the first Jurassic Park, the Asian dude... who explains how they make raptors.
Dr.
Right?
Wu, yeah.
It's Dr. Henry Wu.
Yeah.
I don't believe he has a name in the first film, but he is basically been retconned into being some sort of genetic supervillain because okay. I guess he had nothing else going on.
All right, sure.
So Dr. Wu at some point, retconned into the timeline, creates a hybrid plant called Caracosis wutansis, or the Wu flower. This
the Caracosis wutosis ain't nothing to fuck with.
Yeah. It's like wutosis clan ain't nothing
exactly
to fuck with.
Like
this accomplishment gains international media attention and sparks Simon Massarni's interest in acquiring InGen.
Okay.
Who in Jurassic World, there is an older Indian guy.
Yep.
That's him. He bought...
Indian or InGenian?
Indian buys InGen.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. InGen buys InGen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Making it InGendia now, I
okay.
guess, or something.
Gotcha.
He's InGendian.
Gotcha.
Anyway,
gotcha.
He's a rich man, buys a company.
Gotcha.
He's just like, hey, if this guy can combine flowers, right? Make
yep.
a nice little arrangement,
yep.
right? What if he could do that with animals?
Okay.
Which would be proven to be irresponsible, as this yeah. whole entire thing is just basically little... just like, don't play God. But it's, you know, it's Don't Play God, the Broadway musical, Jurassic
What's
Park.
What's wrong with a little reptilian bouquet?
Just a little, nice little arrangement, right? It's
yeah.
for a fancy occasion. You
yeah.
got your frog, you got your bird,
exactly.
you got your raptor.
Yeah.
It's all good. And your lawyer gets killed on the toilet. That's a good night to me, honestly.
Yeah.
But, you know, tonight we're going to celebrate my girlfriend's birthday.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully, one of our lawyers gets killed.
That's it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't like my lawyer.
Yep.
Full disclosure, don't have a lawyer, but... You're yeah. related to a lawyer. That's not really that. Yeah.
Yeah, my father's one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hope he doesn't get killed.
My dad's, especially not by birds.
No, yeah, not
birds.
Would
be odd. Yeah, dinosaurs would be kind of cool.
Yeah, he's a bigger man. I don't think a pelican could eat him, but they could try.
A couple pelicans, maybe.
Why? They don't really have teeth. They're more like a one gulp kind of thing. They're like
yeah.
they're like one bite brownies. They're not going for like a steak where they have to.
Yeah,
chew it, you know?
Yeah. It's like yeah. Now to think of, I don't think I've ever seen a bird chew.
No, birds. Birds with human teeth, though, if you look that up in the internet, that's funny shit.
Birds with arms is one of my favorite ones.
That's birds with arms are good, too.
Yeah, birds with arms is objectively... If Lore Boys is the premier B-plus podcast on iTunes,
yeah.
Rate us, let us know what you think. Birds with arms is A-, like right above
yeah.
Lore Boys. Birds with arms, I
they
think
don't have a
probably
podcast.
Better.
Yeah, their arms don't really translate well to a podcast medium, but if you check out their photos, they're great.
I mean, like, but, like, by association, like, as far as image-based
yeah.
media and then audio-based media, you got Lore Boys, B+, audio, then you've got Birds with Arms, A-, photo.
I'm on board.
Right.
I'm on board, yeah.
I mean, I look up to the Birds with Arms. Massarani being the Indian billionaire from
mm-hmm.
Jurassic World, which is the fourth film. This flower apparently proves that his theory that you can make a new species by slamming two species together is entirely possible no matter the situation.
I'm picturing the Hadron Collider, and they're just putting daisies and roses in a big circle, and BLAM!
Yeah, we just made this lizard and this bird go real fast, and we hope we get a raptor out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Or possibly some sort of black hole apocalypse in Switzerland.
Just smashing them together, yeah. Like, literally moving miles
yeah.
and they're hitting each other. Oh, while I was in Poland, I met someone who worked with the Large Hadron Collider, actually.
Oh, really?
Like one of the most interesting people. He had talked to me about quantum physics, and I was so interested.
It might as well be magic, right?
It retained nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Massarani finally buys InGen in 1997, and
yeah.
John Hammond dies.
Okay.
R.I.P.
Yep.
Flicks tear away from duct.
I'm still not connected to him, so that's fine.
Yeah.
He's dead.
Apparently, his dying wish was for Massarani to build Jurassic World, which sounded totally true and not at all made up, because my dream of making a dinosaur park never happened because the dinosaurs went crazy and ate everyone.
Yeah?
Please, Simon, don't make my mistakes. Make a dinosaur park instead.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Why would you encourage this?
I don't think he did. I'm thinking that Massarani might just be a man with more money than he knows what to do with and would love to hang out with dinosaurs.
He sounds like an expensive car.
The Massarani?
The Maserati?
No, he's like, the new Simon Massarani.
Yeah, exactly.
The 97 Massarani.
More speed than he knows what to do with.
Class. Objectively.
Yeah.
You know the guy who does Adam Jensen is a Greek actor from Montreal named Ilias Toufexi?
I don't know who either of those people are.
Adam Jensen is the main character for Deus Ex, Human Revolution, and Mankind Divided.
Okay, I have
He's Mankind also Divided. He's also in Assassin's Creed Odyssey, because the fact that the game is made, I think, in Montreal, and there's only, like, one Greek actor in Montreal that anybody gives a fuck about, and it's him.
Didn't you study acting and are part Greek?
I'm half Greek, and I did not study acting, so no. Oh. So not, I never stood a fucking chance.
Oh, okay. I thought you did.
Yeah, no. They can use my cowlick if they want. I got a lot of hair. Or if they want my eyebrow.
I just picture your hair doing voice acting now.
Or just like, they wander around Park X, and they're looking for just, like, a handsome Greek boy. They're just like, well, I don't know about that kid, but we'll take that. We'll take his little Bieber flip. We'll take that. We'll put that on one of the boys in the... one of the boys you can fuck in Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
There's so many Montreal-specific things, actually, this episode. Australia, Park X is a place in, like, the middle-ish of Montreal where lots of Greek people are.
It's like Chinatown, but for Greek people. Yeah. But it's called Park X. My grandparents both showed up from Greece and made a driving school there that Greek people in Montreal still fucking know about. No. Like, I can tell people my age, right, who were just like, oh no, like, my friend Pamela, who's, like, Greek as fuck, her grandmother used
is
to...
Is her name really Pangiota?
It's Panayota, yeah.
Yeah, Panayota! Yeah. I have a Panayota word.
So my name is Peter, but that's not Panayoti. It's
okay.
Peter, because I'm named after my dad's dad.
Yeah.
But that's the anglicized version. Just like Dimitri is Jimmy.
Okay.
Because it's Zimmy.
All right. Call me Dimitri Miller over here.
Yeah, it's a stretch. That's cultural appropriation, James!
I'm sure I must be related to Greek people somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, probably. Yeah. I've always wanted to do 23andMe, but I'm afraid that, like, my mom would be very disappointed that we're, like, Turkish or something and just, like, get really racist about it.
Oh, no.
Well, I don't fucking know. Like, she's just like, we're as Greek can be. I'm like, that's a weird thing to say.
So if you smash a Turkish and a Greek person together...
You get dinosaurs.
You get dinosaurs, yeah.
Because Turkish people can change their sex when they run out of the opposite gender.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's, yeah.
They're amazing people.
They're very simple.
Yeah, they're simple. No, I said they're amazing.
Yeah. All these Turkish ladies, and one of them just wakes up with a beard and is like, time to fuck. And that's the Ottoman Empire.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, what am I going to offend some Ottomans?
No, Turkish people still exist, though.
To my knowledge, they don't listen to this.
Yet. We're going worldwide, baby.
I mean, so far, so good. Like, 40 countries, but fuck, not Turkey. They probably know. Like, not this Greek boy. None of that.
Yeah.
Anyway, after Maserati presumably lies about John Hammond's dying wish of, I made a mistake with making a dinosaur park. Please, Maserati, carry on my legacy, make a dinosaur park.
Yeah.
Maserati decides to... make a dinosaur park.
Oh, wow. Unpredictable. Wild.
So his last wish does sound very made up, because John Hammond's brain was probably being loaded with all those, like, hormones that make you go crazy right before you die and see God.
Yeah.
So Maserati's either lying, because John Hammond's ambition to make a second dinosaur park would be idiotic, or he was a crazy old man on his deathbed who is just just falling to pieces.
Yeah.
in the last 60 seconds of his life.
The brain is a crazy thing, though, man. The fact that you have chemicals in you that can make you think you see God, like, at any moment, but it just waits till you're dying, and then it does it then.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Maserati takes this, the dying wishes of a senile old man, and starts to illegally breed dinosaurs that same year, in 1997.
Has it ever been legal?
I mean, before they went on our... murderous rampage, there was no, like,
laws against it.
I mean, there were no, like, dinosaur sanctions, right? Like,
yeah,
well, we already mentioned this, like, politicians could barely catch up with the fucking internet. You think they could catch up with dinosaurs in 1993?
The dinosaur treaty of 1995.
Yeah. Well, the Swiss government, Duke Franz Ferdinand, shot down in his car by a velociraptor in Serbia. So we had the treaty of Versaurus.
Yeah. Stupid.
That was funny.
It's good, but I hate
clever,
it.
Clever little devil.
Yeah.
Dr. Wu, after the Treaty of Versaurus,
yes,
is promoted more and more in the company. So they're turning him more into, like, the genetic supervillain that he was always destined to be.
Gotcha. Yeah.
the events of Jurassic Park 3 take place at this point. It's really inconsequential what happens in that film.
Yeah.
The dinosaurs once again kill a bunch of people after a couple hire Alan Grant and some mercenaries to find their son who disappeared on the island while parasailing.
Have you watched this one?
I've seen all... Oh, no, I haven't seen all of them. I've seen 4 of the 5. So I've seen 1, 2, 3, and Jurassic World.
Okay, but
and
not...
After Jurassic World, I was just like, Fallen Kingdom looks... remarkably stupid.
What's the gimmick of 3 though? Like, is it bigger dinosaurs? Is it like a different park? It's a new
area. They
have
a Spinosaurus, but they're back on the... I can't remember if they're on the breeding island or the main island. But there's like a kid who's parasailing with his stepdad, and they get killed by pterodactyls. And then the mom and the dad want to go find him, and they hire a guy from the first film because it's like, if there's anybody who's not afraid of dinosaurs, it's the man who watched dinosaurs kill a bunch of people.
But the pterodactyl attack, I bet you the United States government labeled it as a terrorist with a PT attack.
Terrorist attack? PT? Like PTY.
Yeah, exactly.
Like artist impression is like a pterodactyl with like a long beard.
Yeah.
Like just hanging off his beak. Terrorist with a P. Yeah, terrorist with a silent P.
Exactly.
Oh my god, I don't even know how I'm going to carry on after that. That's it. That's fucking peak Jurassic Park right there. We did it. Anyway, and this occurs in the late 90s, and in 2004, construction of Jurassic World is completed on the ruins of the old park.
Gotcha.
And they start to fill it with dinosaurs. In 2005, it opens and everything goes actually super fine until the population of Earth apparently becomes bored of seeing dinosaurs. Which, you haven't seen this film. Jurassic World takes place, like, in the year it came out, which I think was 2015, 2016.
Yeah.
Where people are just like, ugh, dinosaurs, how droll. Like what the fuck? Like, one of the main characters is, like, this insufferable teenage boy who just wants to fuck bitches at the park. He's, like, looking at other teenage girls.
What the fuck?
And he's just, like, texting while there's an actual dinosaur eating a shark.
What?
Like, what the fuck? Like, what are you, insane?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm so sorry that we resurrected a mosasaur from the dead.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's huge. But yeah, he's like some bored, insufferable prick. Anyway,
Yes, dinosaurs are so fucking cool, dude. If I had the opportunity to even see a clone dinosaur, I would lose my shit.
I went to an animatronic park one time in the States somewhere where they built like giant...
Chuck E. Cheese is not an animatronic.
Where in the claw machine, I got a stuffed dinosaur, blew my mind. I went to an animatronic thing one time where they built like a giant robot triceratops that had like compressors in it so it would breathe.
Wow.
And like you could feel its like warm breath coming out. And it melted my brain as a child. This dude, because he's 14, he's horny, is bored of dinosaurs. So Maserati sees this. He's just like, man, okay, well, all these kids don't like dinosaurs anymore. We got to make new ones. Just fuck their shit up.
I think this is just Jurassic Park, like, kind of mirroring their own movies because they're like, we've made 4 of them. No one's interested anymore, so we've got to...
Fuck, I mean, they kind of peaked at 1.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And the second one was just like, maybe we shouldn't do this. And the third one's like, we really shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
And the fourth one came out like, no, trust me, guys. We're going to make a T-Rex, but with longer arms.
Yeah, we know you're texting. You just want to fuck.
Yeah.
Hang in there.
Yeah, exactly. Get off Tinder for 1 second here because Chris Pratt's in this movie and he's going to play himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, stay with me now. Chris Pratt plays... Chris Pratt.
Wow.
Is that man even... Can you even consider Chris Pratt an actor?
I don't know. I haven't seen enough movies to know, but I know
Chris Pratt. The wrong person to ask.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah. So, Maserati goes up to Dr. Wu and is just like, hey, you smash some flowers together, right? And he's like, yeah, you want to smash together some dinosaurs? And he's like, sure.
Okay.
I'll do it. So the business boys at the top and Maserati allow Wu to play God and create what is known as the Indominus Rex, which is the antagonist of Jurassic World.
Okay.
The hybrid runs amok, predictably, and kills dozens of people, and it releases hundreds of pterosaurs, which are pterodactyls and the associated flying reptiles of the time.
The terrorists.
Well, pterosaurs. So basically, so I guess in this instance, the Indominus Rex joins ISIS. It allows in hundreds of terrorists with peas. Silent peas to run amok in the park and kill dozens of people.
Oh my gosh.
This is important because Masarani, the pterosaur part is important because Masarani is an amateur helicopter pilot.
Oh wow.
And at one point he's just like, no, don't worry guys, I got this, and lifts off in his helicopter, who then dies when his helicopter is overtaken by a flock of rampaging pterosaurs who get sucked into the engine. And
oh,
that's
man.
How he dies, is what? He hits too many bird lizards.
Oh my god. I thought that the terrorists, like, with the P, their biggest weapon was propaganda, which is propaganda with the sound of P.
Yeah.
Apparently it's just flying into planes. All right.
Yeah, it's just flying into helicopters.
Yeah, okay.
It's just like, listen, if enough of you fucking well that's part of their thing. It's just like if you kill yourself, you get to ascend to the next level, right? Yeah. So it's just like these pterosaurs or these terrorists, silent P,
yeah.
Just jam themselves in the exhaust of the helicopter,
wow.
Seizing the engine, and then Masarani dies.
Okay, got
in
you.
In Jurassic
you.
World.
Right.
But he's just like, hang on, I got this. I flew in a helicopter twice. He crashes into 100 birds and then dies.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, anyway. the other thing the park was trying to do was train raptors for use in the military. Oh no, that's not a joke.
Yeah,
that's like 40% of Jurassic World is an army guy saying, you know what's better than human soldiers? Blood-drinking lizards.
Jesus. I'm so glad I clocked out,
dude,
of movies.
This is the reason I did this, because we can get into all like the cloning shit
prior
to this, but now it's just like army dinosaurs, fucking terrorists with a silent P.
Yeah.
So that's a real plot point from the film, is they want to make military raptors. And this, of course, makes no fucking sense, because animals can't speak, require more food than humans, and cannot hold anything because they don't have thumbs.
But they don't have feelings. They don't have families.
Apparently not. All of the raptors, with the exception of one named Blue, are eventually killed in the film. And Blue is like Chris Pratt's best friend. She's the raptor that he trained up from an egg or whatever, and she listens to him. She's basically just like a dog.
What the fuck is this movie?
Yeah, this is Jurassic World. Stupid would be the answer to your question right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Very fucking stupid.
Oh my god.
However, all the raptors... at one point are sent out with the military to confront the Indominus Rex, or the I-Rex, which is the hybrid monster.
Yeah.
The I-Rex has some raptor DNA in her, though, and she can speak raptor, and she's just like, wait, guys, why don't we just kill the humans? And all the raptors immediately are just like, okay.
I like how the biggest enemy in, like, a United States-made film is something that so many people in the United States could... identify with, something that sounds like the IRS. It's the IRS coming after you. Yeah. The IRS coming to audit your shit, dude. You're going to jail.
She comes to audit your raptors. She finds out that they're not great for the military, and she's just like, well, I got a new idea.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. What the fuck?
I don't know. I'm being kidding.
Chris Pratt's character, however, Owen, finally convinces Blue, the last surviving raptor, to just stop being evil, and she does.
Oh, that's good.
The T-Rex, or Rexy, from the original film, and the Mosasaur work together with Blue to eventually kill the I-Rex, where they have a bit of a brawl in the gift shop, and then they smash down like the safety fence on the aquarium that has the Mosasaur in it, and the I-Rex. It's actually a really good scene. It's stupid, but it's so much fun to watch.
I didn't realize we had so many dinosaurs on our side in this one. But
Yeah, I mean, it seems kind of stupid that we have so many dinosaurs on our side, isn't it? Whether it's the IRS is auditing terrorists.
Yeah.
Or whatever we're at now.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Blue, she's a good rogue. She provides a lot of good whatever, a lot of decent distractions and whatnot.
Gotcha.
The Rexy, the T-Rex from the OG from 1988, is still alive. She's one of the main characters.
Okay.
She shows up. She's a really good DPS.
Okay.
And then you get the last hit, who gets all the gold, Mosasaur, boom. Drags the I-Rex down into the aquarium, eats most of it, but also drowns her.
Okay.
It's a neat scene.
Sure,
it's
sure.
a neat scene.
It sounds nice.
So after all this chaos, for the past, like, 22 years of dinosaurs eating people, the government starts to look into things. And all this is like, sure are a shocking amount of dinosaur-related murders that, from what we can tell, have gone up 8,000,000% in the last 65 million years.
Jesus.
All within the last 10 years. So it's either, dinosaurs have had some bad financial troubles and have turned to piracy because we've neglected them, and our Western capitalist thing has encroached on their territory, and now they've resorted to piracy.
That's it. They're not studying enough. Yeah. They need more of the thesauruses.
Or playing God was a mistake in the first place.
Yep, that's fair.
Yeah, it turns out it was a mistake in the first place. Claire Deering. Oh, yeah. Also, Dr. Wu is indicted as a genetic criminal or something.
Genetic criminal.
Yeah, which I think is like the government term for playing God. Genetic criminal. You smash together flowers, you smash together animals, and before you even knew it, boom, people are getting eaten and killed by terrorists.
Your fault, Wu.
Yeah, you did it.
Yep.
Yeah. I would blame Wu for this one. Congress would then, shut down due to excessive puns.
Yeah.
Claire Deering, who is the redheaded girl from Jurassic World. It's Bryce Dallas Howard. She's the main character, but the problem with the lore is nothing she does fucking matters because it's a stupid modern action film. none of the characters do anything.
Replace the woman with a lamp. Does she have a role?
Oh my god, replace any of the characters that aren't dinosaurs with lamps in this film and none of them do anything. It's terrible. She's the lead, technically, from Jurassic World.
Okay, wow.
And after Jurassic World, this is the one of the worst written characters ever. After the dinosaurs predictably run amok and murder people in Jurassic World, which she is in charge of, she then survives the first film and founds Dinosaur PETA, which is like some sort of dinosaur right group.
Oh, I thought it was an online service to keep a lot of articles about a lot of different dinosaurs.
Dinosaurpedia.
Okay.
No, gotcha. No, Dinosaur PETA.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
So like, people for the ethical treatment of dinosaurs, basically.
Oh, really?
This is in the new film that I haven't seen, but have summarized in this one for people who might not want to see it. Because this movie is, if you thought what I've been saying thus far has been stupid.
I always think what you're saying is stupid.
Good. Never trust anything I say. Yeah. This has been the plot to Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be from our Silent Hill episode for anybody who doesn't know. She founds Dinosaur PETA because apparently she has learned nothing.
Sure.
And she founds this in response to the Costa Rican government discovering that Jurassic Park was on a volcano the whole time.
Oh, they get extinct again!
And then
they come back just to get volcanoed. That'd be hilarious. Yeah,
and is gonna explode and kill all the dinosaurs and making them extinct twice. She marches on Capitol Hill in 2018 to demand that the U.S. government save and relocate the dinosaurs. Is the plot to a movie that came out this year, Jamie?
Oh my gosh. You know what? Fine, save the dinosaurs, but I don't want to see that movie ever.
Me neither.
No.
No, I read this for the research. I was what is happening?
Oh my gosh.
The events of Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom occur. And I want to summarize this because this is some real events and some fake events that actually happen in this film. And I want you to guess which is...
Oh, I love this game.
Yeah, exactly. So, Benjamin Lockwood, who we spoke about earlier, he's introduced in this film and retconned into the entire fucking series.
Sure.
As the very important partner that no one ever talked about.
Yep.
He's introduced into the canon and reveals that he hired a bunch of mercenaries to get the bones of the Indominus Rex so that they can make another hybrid dinosaur in the huge Resident Evil-style laboratory underneath the Lockwood estate.
Gotcha.
Okay. We meet Maisie Lockwood.
Wait, these are all the options that I have to guess which is real?
Yeah, at present, these are the options for you and the viewers playing at home.
Okay.
What's real? What is fake?
So, in terms of what the people are and doing, or what?
Which of these are in the film, and which are not in the film?
Gotcha.
So, I will summarize at the end, but let me give you the options.
Sure.
So, Benjamin Lockwood, just to restart very briefly here.
Yeah.
Just a soft reboot. Ben Lockwood is introduced. He sends a team of mercenaries back to Jurassic World to get the bones of the Indominus Rex so that he can make another hybrid dinosaur in his Resident Evil-sized evil science laboratory beneath the Lockwood Manor.
Gotcha.
Okay. We meet Maisie Lockwood, Benjamin Lockwood's granddaughter, and yet more slimy business boys who want to sell dinosaurs to the army. Dr. Wu used the bones from the last hybrid, as well as Blue, the raptor, the surviving raptor, DNA, to make an army-ready hybrid dinosaur called the Indoraptor in within a week.
Sure.
Based on the timeline of the film.
Sure.
Which he then wants to sell, and it can apparently be controlled with a laser pointer, so it is evil and is immune to tranquilizer darts, smiles at the camera, and managed to open an elevator by breaking its panel with its tail, and it is also bulletproof.
This is a bulletproof cat that chases around laser pointers basically. And smiles for a kid.
Yeah. Okay, the dinosaurs escape and run amok, killing dozens of people, which is something that I have said probably 8 times at this point.
Mm-hmm.
The lab underground is then flooded with toxic gas that will surely kill the dinosaurs. It is then revealed that Maisie Lockwood is not the granddaughter of Benjamin Lockwood, but is a human clone of his dead daughter.
Okay.
Okay. And she, being a clone, feels empathy for the dinosaurs who are also clones and releases them into the wild, where they will apparently have the capacity to overthrow the human race. And the film insists that this will cause a dinosaur-themed apocalypse, despite the fact that less than 100 dinosaurs escaped.
Okay.
Some, like the T-Rex, are the only one of their species shown. And then she then delivers the line, "They are alive like me." Which one of those 3 points do you think is real? And which one is fake? Which one do you think is too stupid to be put in a Hollywood movie about dinosaurs?
So I'm not sure where the divide was. The first one was Ben Lockwood he steals the bones, makes a new one.
Yes.
Second point was, remind me?
We're introduced to Maisie Lockwood, the little girl.
Maisie, who lets them go because she...
That's the third point, because she's a clone of a human being and feels empathy towards the dinosaurs for also being clones. And then the other one was that Dr. Wu has made a new hybrid who can be controlled by the military with laser pointers and is also bulletproof and smiles at the camera.
Now, which one is or isn't in the movie?
Exactly. There's one of those... is fake?
I'm gonna say the first one is fake, because I feel like the human element of letting all the dinosaurs go could totally happen in a movie. I think the third one is real. Maisie letting them all go to make a dinosaur apocalypse is real.
Okay.
I'm not sure about the laser pointer. Sounds so specific, I think it has to be real. So I think the stealing the bones has to be fake to make another Indominus.
I did this on purpose, because this movie is so stupid. That is the entire plot of the film, and none of those things are fake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
that was the old bait and switch.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that there movie is so stupid that they steal the bones, they make a new clone that can be controlled with a laser pointer. There's also a little girl who is a human clone who releases dinosaurs upon the Earth, and then apparently this is supposed to cause a dinosaur apocalypse. Despite the fact there is one female T-Rex who at this point is 35 years old and has nothing to breed with.
Oh, well, don't worry, because they came from those frogs that are able to switch their old genitals whenever things get a little
too
rough.
Yeah, but she can't, like, have both fuck herself and lay her own eggs, because there's one T-Rex.
That's a great insult. Go fuck yourself and lay your own eggs.
Yeah, fuck you. Yeah. Anyway, on that very stupid note, is Jurassic Park.
You know what? A stupid note to end a stupid series.
Yeah, you fucking... get what you got, what you came for. Yeah. That's Jurassic Park, where it's like, oh my god, is it like a kind of charming family thriller about dinosaurs on an island? Is it about a clone little girl accidentally causing the apocalypse with fucking, 10 wild animals?
Yeah. You know what? The first one I'd like to rewatch.
I've rewatched it multiple times. Even the effects honestly hold up pretty well.
Okay.
Like after, whatever, 25 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
At time of recording.
Okay, so watch the first one. Don't watch the rest is the moral of the story if you haven't seen any.
Yeah, listen to this podcast, though.
Yeah, listen to us.
Yeah, I understand. I just summarized the lore of movies that we have acknowledged are bad, but I thought it was a lot of fun and very stupid.
Can we start calling it an oddcast with a silent P? Or no.
Terrorist. That was fucking fantastic.
Okay. We got
anyway, Jamie. Jamie with a silent P. If I was to... find you on the internet, Silent P. Where would I do that?
You can find me at TLB_JamesMiller on Instagram. And you can find me on The Lore Boys on Twitch, because I'm going to start doing that again. So check us out on Thursdays at around 7 p.m. EST.
Yeah, we got a new follower today. Thank you very much, whoever you were.
Yeah.
On Twitch, obviously just people listening to the show and taking the plugs.
Where can I
Silent
find...
P, or the Silent Lugs, as it were.
Where can I find you?
I am at Eater. Eat O'Donoghue.
Yeah, exactly.
At Eat O'Donoghue on Twitter. I am the cartoonist for the Lore Boys at theloreboys.com and Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram. And of course, since Big Daddy Ethan isn't here right now, for me, I have... the one who's taking charge of I'm acting CEO of the Lore Boys right now. And if you wish to support us financially, you can always subscribe to Lore Boys Rhyme with Silent P, at which point one of us, depending on who is available, will listen to your grandparents' dying wish, and we will do the exact opposite of that. So if, for example, you wanted your if your grandfather did not want us to start a dinosaur park, we would do that. Mm-hmm. If he had some sort of horrible secret that he never wanted anybody to know, we would tell you. Then if he had some, you know, invaluable antique that he wanted to leave you, we will smash it for you.
If he wanted you to donate to orphans, we will steal from orphans.
We will steal from orphans. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And all of this per month, one grandparent, per subscription. So you will need to pay twice if we need to your grandfather and your grandmother and their dying wishes, but we can get into that. Maybe we can have like some kind of bundle.
Hey, if you've got two, you're lucky, okay? Don't come at us with that.
Yeah, exactly. They're getting old.
Yeah.
So yeah, and that's just going to be $99.99 a month. Per parent. So if you book us this month and your grandparent doesn't die, or at least doesn't divulge their dying wish, you will be billed again next month. But of course, if they die on the second, it's not prorated as to how many days of the month they were alive.
Yeah.
It's one charge per month per wish. So that's a fixed rate. But I think it's worth it to support the Lore Boys.
Do you know Ethan's Twitter? We should probably give it out. Ethan the Dead Man?
Ethan the Dead Man on Twitter, and Ethan is a Dead Man on Instagram.
Yeah. He doesn't use Instagram. I tagged him this week, and he's never.
Yeah, it's a ghost town, eh?
Yeah, he's never going to see that. But Ethan the Dead Man on Twitter—that's where you can find him. He's always there.
He's off at school right now, getting his podcasting degree.
Exactly. But we've got a girlfriend's party to go to, so we better get going.
It's my girlfriend.
Yeah, it's your girlfriend's party.
I thought I could just shower with gifts and then ignore her for the rest of the year. God damn it! And that constitutes a Lore Boys.
Out.
We're extinct twice.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.